Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. Christ's work to minister in the intent of, rather than the letter of, Scripture. We learned in our first lesson in this series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant, Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded unto upright Christian service from personal failure. At times, such failure arises from getting entangled in the letter of Scripture versus heeding its intent. But Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28, reports on Jesus' work to minister in the intent of, rather than in the letter of Scripture, when they differ. We'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 2, 23 to 28. And it came to pass that Jesus went through the grain fields. It shouldn't be corn, it should be grain fields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of grain. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests. And he gave also to them that were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Okay, as Jesus and his disciples walked on a footpath through a grain field one Sabbath day, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain to thresh them by hand for eating. Now, this is something that would be wrong for you and for me to do today. If we just, you know, walk through a farmer's field and started plucking grain and so forth, that would be seen as stealing. We couldn't do that today. But it's interesting that the Pharisees subjected to this activity and asked Jesus why his disciples were doing what was not lawful to do on the Sabbath day, suggesting they were guilty of a capital offense. According to Exodus 31, if you violated the Sabbath, you were supposed to be put to death. In reality, the Mosaic law allowed the disciples to pick grain by hand and to eat it as they went through the field, providing they did not harvest enough to collect in a container to take with them. That's the command in Deuteronomy 23:25. See, under the law, God made the law open so that if there was a person who was really hungry and he didn't have access to another food, he could actually walk through a farmer's grain field, or he could walk through the vineyard, walk through an orchard, and he could pick and he could eat while he was walking what he ate, what he took, what he picked. And there was nothing wrong with that. But if he took a bucket with him and started picking and loading up the bucket, the implication is he's going to take it home and make a haul, he's going to take it to market and sell it. That's stealing. But if you need it for yourself, for your own survival, that's free. It's interesting, I grew up in a farming community, actually in high school I was in a farming community, and I don't know of a single farmer that would mind someone who's actually really hungry walking up to his grain field or almond orchard. I grew up around a lot of almond orchards and walnut orchards, some peach orchards and so forth, and picking what the person needed to eat to stay alive. In fact, a lot of farmers I would talk to, they said, you know, you look at this, I've got this huge field of food, and there are people in the world that are starving. That's not right. A lot of farmers felt that way. They were big-hearted people. They wanted people who were genuinely hurting to be able to eat. So God had made this provision. And there was nothing wrong in them doing what they were doing because they were eating as they were doing this. However, the Pharisees viewed the disciples' activity as servile work, a violation of the Sabbath day restriction. Remember, Exodus 34, verse 21 says, You shall labor 6 days a week, but on the seventh day you shall be a day of rest. Now, this is work that you would do for a living, servile work. That's what we're talking about. Now, what the disciples arguably would have violated only if they were going to sell the harvested grain for material gain, something that they simply were not doing. They were just eating this to stay alive. But the Pharisees had made up a rule that you couldn't do this at all because that was servile work. And what that did, that made the Sabbath a burdensome day. If there was a person who was hungry, he couldn't get any food. He couldn't go through the field and eat. So instead of being a day of rest, it was a day of torture. It was all because of the Pharisees. Well, Jesus addressed the Pharisees' motive behind their restriction, that of heeding the technical directives of the law above God's intent of having given it. Christ referred to King David's effort in 1 Samuel 21, 1-6, when he was in need and hungry, both he and the soldiers under his oversight. And just for our information, I'm going to turn there tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, and we'll just briefly look at it and show you what's going on in the context so that we can better understand. David is actually fleeing for his life from Saul, and he doesn't have any preparations, any provisions ahead of time. And in those days, you can't just flee and stop in at an IGA or a Stop and Shop somewhere down the road. You just didn't have them. You either had food or you didn't have food. And David is having to flee for his life from Saul. He didn't have food. So verse 1 of chapter 21, David came to Nob and to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, "Why are you alone, with no man with you?" And David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has commanded me a business," which is a lie, incidentally. And for this, later on, the priest was killed. But it's interesting, the Lord is not looking at what David did wrong here, only what he did right. "The king has commanded me a business and has said unto me, 'Let no man know anything of the business whereof I send thee and what I've commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under your hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in your hand, in mine hand, or what there is present.' And the priest answered David and said, 'There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread or holy bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women," in other words, if they were ceremonially clean. "And David answered the priest and said unto him, 'Truthfully, women have been kept from us these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is a manner of common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel.' So the priest gave him the hallowed bread, for there was no bread there except the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away." So that's what's going on here. "And when he was hungry, both he and the soldiers under his oversight." Now, what's interesting is in that event, David violated 2 regulations of the law that technically were capital offenses that you should have lost your life for. First, he entered the tabernacle courtyard to make contact with the high priest when only the Levites, not the Hebrews of other tribes like the tribe of Judah from David had hailed, could do, lest they be executed for violating God's holiness. You notice Mark chapter 2, verse 26, Jesus said he went into the house of God. David is not a Levite. He's not of the tribe of Levi. Apparently the priests were inside ministering, and David was desperate, so he went ahead and violated the law, and as a Jew from the tribe of Judah, actually went into the tabernacle, into the courtyard area where he wasn't supposed to be technically. But he was in need of food. It's interesting how Jesus condones this, because the issue of food was more important than keeping the other issues. The issue of keeping a person alive was more important. Second, David asked for and ate the showbread of the holy place that was lawful only for the priests, not for him and his men with him, lest they be executed for violating God's holiness. It's interesting, Numbers chapter 1, verse 51, if anyone even came near the articles of the tabernacle, let alone the bread that was on the table of showbread, and he was not of the Levitical order or of the priest. He was actually, if he came close to the showbread, even if he was a Levite, he was viewed as a stranger. He had to be a priest. So this was a violation of the law. Now, what's interesting, the high priest, Abiathar, recognized that his moral obligation to preserve David's life by providing bread superseded the ceremonial regulation concerning who could eat showbread. So he gave the bread for David and his men, providing they were ceremonially clean and exhibiting personal respect for God. See, the high priest was really concerned at this point, okay, if you have a genuine need, we can do this, but I have to make sure that we are not doing this in any kind of disrespect for God. This is an issue of dire need, so we're going at this the right way. And that's why he wanted to make sure that they were ceremonially clean, and they were. So out of respect for God, they still went ahead. And God sanctioned this. This is why the Lord Jesus uses this. Otherwise, God would have put David and these other men to death right away. But this was a life-threatening situation. Now, unfortunately, David lied. He told the priest that he was on business from the king. And later it ended up that Abiathar, in fact, the entire town of priests was put to death by Saul because David lied. And David learned from this. There's no such thing as a white lie. You know, a lie is a lie is a lie. But what David did here in violating the law to feed himself, that was correct. Now, Jesus then explained that God had instituted the Sabbath rule to serve the needs of man who needed to rest from his labors, not to make man enslaved to burdensome regulations as the Pharisees had transformed it. The Pharisees had done what ancient pagan man did. Ancient pagans viewed the seventh day as a day of bad luck, when one should afflict himself and avoid pleasures and not work, lest it not prosper. That was a burdensome view of the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They were promoting opposite God's will, that the Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest and refreshment for man's benefit. Incidentally, even though we're not under a Sabbath day regulation, and I know I've talked with Dave here about this a number of times, there is real value in taking a day off from work. The principle there is very, very important to rest. In fact, business owners know that if they work people all the time, their productivity over time will go down. They actually have to have a break one whole day a week. If they don't, it's going to hurt their business, the bottom line. Very interesting. In fact, it's important to have a break occasionally, even during the day. You actually get better workmanship out of a person if he has some time to rest. So God wanted the Sabbath to reflect his grace to the world, but the Pharisees had turned it into burdensome legalism. See, what the Pharisees were doing were actually going back in the direction of paganism, of making the Sabbath, once again, a burdensome, onerous thing. And God says, that's not, I want to do just the opposite. I want it to be shown as a day of rest and relaxation because I'm a gracious God. I'm not a taskmaster. I'm not a slave master. Now, if the Sabbath was made for man's beneficial refreshment, not to enslave him to burdensome regulations as in the Pharisees' teaching, Jesus as the Son of Man was also the Lord even of the Sabbath day, meaning he has sovereignty, authority over its use. So as David had done before him, Jesus practiced and taught that God's moral obligations, the intent of his word, takes precedence over Scripture's technical directive wherever these entities differ. So may we trust in Christ as God's perfect servant. May we, like Jesus Christ, also believe and practice the intent of God's word above its technical directives whenever a situation arises that produces a difference between the intent and the technical directives of the Word of God. I've used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it again. In our communion service, the communion service is something that is very serious from God the Father's perspective. He wants us to partake of the elements only if we are worthy. But let's say that there's a person who's in our service, and we're quite sure that they don't know the Lord, and all of a sudden, they faint or something because they have too low a body sugar and it becomes a potentially life-threatening situation. The thing that we need to do immediately is to stop what we were doing, take the grape juice and pour it down the person's throat so they can drink it. That has the blood sugar, and of course there's a lot of sugar in it, and that can help the person come around. That is something that has direct application here. That is not something that God will look upon as being something that is disrespectful. Yes, the person is unsaved, and no, normally they shouldn't take the communion, but in this situation, we are saving human life. When it comes to saving human life, you drop everything and go to saving that life because that's the issue. That's what takes precedence. God wants us to value saving human life over going through the ritual that we're going through. Now, that's not showing disrespect for the communion elements. That's showing respect for life that God has created. So that's a situation. Now, quite frankly, I don't know of an actual physical situation where that would actually occur. But let's say there was a situation like that that would occur. That's a situation where we should be involved. I've also used another illustration. If I'm walking on a street corner in Torrington, on the opposite side of, let's say there's a bar on the other side, and all of a sudden there's a person who has a heart attack and he falls over. What I should do as a Christian is cross the street, and if I know CPR, start administering CPR in the bar with the man. That's not going to hurt my testimony. If anything, it's going to help my testimony because I'm putting human life above that. Now, normally, I shouldn't be in the bar because that can be a bad testimony, obviously. But in this situation, if it's a life-threatening situation, the honorable thing to do is to dress the human life, save that life, and then we go about our regular life. So the intent of God's word takes precedence over the technical obedience. Sometimes there's a difference between the technical obedience and the issue at hand. We have to be wise. We have to be respectful before the Lord. But the Lord expects us to use our common sense.